MENA Watch, der Talk.
You are a former member of Knesset, an advisor to the late President Shimon Peres and deputy ambassador at the Israeli embassy in Cairo.
Formerly.
You are a writer, speaker and commentator for various media outlets in English and in Hebrew.
Yes.
And you founded and are CEO of Ruth Global Strategy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So I work with several clients.
Mm-hmm.
I work, amongst others, with the EJA, catering and serving the Jewish peoplehood in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that this is really a calling. I also am a senior research fellow at the Misgav Research Institute for Strategic Security Issues and National Security in Israel,
mm-hmm.
Chaired by Meir Ben Shabbat, mm-hmm. the former head of the National Security Council. I write regularly in the Jerusalem Post and in Ma'ariv in Hebrew and English. I commentate on a regular basis on the Israeli National Channel 12, the Hebrew-speaking one, and on I-24. I brief many delegations and groups that come either to Israel or I travel abroad, explaining the geostrategy of the region, because my field of expertise is the Arab arena.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically what I do.
That's what happened when you have been in Cairo.
That was the beginning.
Yeah, yes.
That was the beginning.
And right. you're also a little bit involved in feminist
subjects.
Let me ask.
I am.
What did you feel when the feminists kept silence after the massacre of the 7th of October?
Well, what can I say? You know, I think that leadership is courage.
Mm.
To be afraid to say what's morally right is not leadership. This is, in my humble opinion, the essence of leadership. And the silence was deafening. I have to tell you that when October 7th happened, and pictures and accounts of what had happened, particularly to the women, started coming out, obviously everyone felt absolutely terrible. But I can say, in my own personal experience, I was devastated. It was, as a woman, and that was the purpose of this. I don't even want to say animal-like behavior, because animals don't behave in that way. But hyenas, disgusting, evil. It was so evil that it was difficult to even comprehend that it had happened. Because it's difficult to put your mind around, how does a human being do that? How do they gang rape? How do they do that to young girls and in front of their family? I mean, this is the epitome of evil. Not only is it the epitome of evil, but it was videotaped to showcase to their enthusiasts. The fact that they afterwards said they didn't do it because there was such a disgust from this and they understood that they're doing something that's not to their interest is another story. But they actually documented themselves doing these horrendous, disgusting things. I mean, and in Islam, and this is something that I do understand, this is taboo. This is a shame. Now, not only women, but men. And nobody talks about it. We are so gentle with these perpetrators and with the Muslim world. Why are we not explaining to the Muslim world that they not only gang-raped women, which is completely taboo, haram, mamnu' in Arabic, in the Quran, in everything to do with Islam. It's absolutely wrong what people are making up, that they are allowed to do this as sex slaves. It is not Islam. at least not in certain circumstances, and there were no circumstances that allowed this. They were not fighting against an army. They were literally attacking civilians. Not only that, but they did this to men. Now, taboo times a million in Islam. Men with men is haram. Why are we not showing the Muslim world what these people did in the name of their religion, in their name, to represent them? So as a woman and as a human being, I'm appalled, appalled. And I feel that, especially to the Muslim world, especially to the Arab, I want to shout out and explain, you know, because not every single Muslim in the entire universe can live well with what they did.
The problem is also that it's from the left-wing feminists said that this is a fake.
The UN documented and reported that it was not a fake. And God knows the UN is definitely not on Israel's side. So it's astonishing.
That's not.
And the New York Times, which is completely not a pro-Israeli media outlet, has also made a huge report about how true these rapings and sexual violence and atrocities were.
What does it tell us about left-wing feminism if these women organizations keep silent and they don't want to criticize this happening?
They are hypocritical cowards. My apologies for being blunt, but that's exactly what they are, hypocritical cowards. Is there a woman that can be gang raped and it's okay, and another woman that cannot be gang raped?
Would you call it anti-Semitism?
You know what? Even if it's not anti-Semitism, and I do believe there's an issue here of anti-Semitism, what difference does it make? Gang rape or rape or sexual abuse is gang rape or sexual abuse. It can be a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, whatever. This is not a human act.
But doesn't it give a backlash on feminist things that have been developed already?
Their credibility?
Mm-hmm.
They have no credibility. The UN has lost its credibility.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a body in which the Human Rights Committee is headed by the Islamic Republic of Iran, completely disregarding the human rights of millions and millions of women, shooting them in the eye to make them one-eyed as a policy if they protest against the regime, raping them as a policy in prisons throughout Iran. And they are the heads and the chair people of the Committee on Human Rights. It's a travesty. It's a shame.
Going back to your former position in the Knesset, if you would be a member of Knesset now, what would you do first?
It's a very difficult question because there's so much to do. The geostrategic situation and the security situation in Israel is very challenging. It is challenging because I think there is a military element which is challenging because of the many arenas, which in legislation and in parliament is difficult to deal with. So it's more on the military side. But there's a platform upon which you can explain what is going on. I do that anyway outside of the parliament, but I would use that platform to try and even further explain to the world that Israel and the Hamas is just a very teeny tiny part of the puzzle. It's an attempt by the perpetrators to take attention away from the real issue, and that's the macro grand plan. And anybody who understands anything about radical Islam and the ideology behind it understands that at the root of this ideology is a worldwide caliphate, which is Sharia-based, is very closed to any progressive values, completely unapproachable to LGBT and whatever comes with it, to freedom for women, to equality of rights, not to mention anybody who's not the specific Muslim that they want. Meaning, and we saw a wonderful example with ISIS, that they also kill Muslims if they don't adhere to the same kind of Islam that they wish for and they propagate. And then there is the Shiite wish for domination using Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, European leftist progressives, the West American young kids that understand really nothing about the situation as pawns. For what? To forward their own goals. And this is a huge issue for the freedom of the world. I mean, where are we? Wasn't the UN created for that as a watchdog? Not only is it not a watchdog, it's a mechanism, a vehicle used by those radicals. And then you have, you know, you have the Iranians who are the Shiites and want Shiite domination, but you also have Qatar and the Muslim Brotherhood supported by Turkey, Erdogan, and by other Islamists, Hamas, and so on. And they are competing for the same domination and hegemony from the Sunni point of view. One thing they all agree on, and that's the absolute hatred and nullification of anybody who is not a Muslim. And here the world misunderstands, because the Jews are truly just the first step, because it's easy to galvanize hatred towards them. But it's not just them. And by the way, one needs not believe me. They say this in Arabic all the time, openly, in very many interviews. One just needs to listen and understand Arabic. And that's it.
So this is, you would change the way that Israel is doing its public relation work. This would be one of the steps.
I would call for, although this is not a legislation issue for Parliament, but I would call for, and I do call for it from outside as well, for the creation of a body, an agency that is not political, it's not under a government, it has a universal board, including Jewish representatives from the diaspora, but also non-Jews who get it, and Israelis, and they must strategize and centralize a policy for explaining the truth.
So are you, the next election will come, sure, in Israel. Are you going for a seat in the parliament again?
I'm in very close touch with the politics in Israel. I feel that I don't have a privilege to stay out, although being in politics in generally and in Israel in particular is not an easy route. Not for a woman, not for a mother, not for a person who seeks the truth. It's a difficult arena. However, I don't believe that we're still at a time, at a point where we can, you know, close the door to that, simply because I feel that I still need to do some things. So in that regard, I believe that I will be active in the political arena in the future.
It means that you have to be connected with one of the parties.
That's correct. I was connected with the Blue and White Party.
Okay.
The Central Party, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, headed by Benny Gantz.
By Benny Gantz, yes. I mean, in Israel, the democratic basic is very strong.
Very strong.
And this is what also in other countries is not really recognized, because if 100,000 people go on the streets, here they have to have 800,000 in comparison more. So thank you so much.
Thank you
for your much. Contribution here.
Thank you.
And
thank you
the
very
time
much.
You took for us.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns. Eine Produktion von MENA Watch, dem unabhängigen Nahost-Think-Tank. Auf unserer Website finden Sie täglich aktuelle Informationen und Analysen. Besuchen Sie uns.